The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. All proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander, Brian Ortega in this morning as well. Las Vegas Chris still to come this hour in studio. Haven't chatted with Las Vegas Chris in a while. Multiple contest winner and contest juggernaut. He'll give us all his thoughts on how he preps week to week during the National Football League season, what contests he might be in this year as well. This is usually the hour. But, oh, by the way, before we get to crack, following up on Ed Fang's segment, Jalen Hurts and Daniel Jones, you can bet these quarterbacks' pick rates not only in the market of who ends up with the most, but also over-unders, totals. Both the aforementioned Daniel Jones and Jalen Hurts, who have really low rates previously, they're both set at 8.5 picks. 8.5 picks. So sounds like Ed would go over on those two numbers right there. Usually this hour is reserved for the crack man, but he's not in town. He's somewhere else. So we check in with Bill Krakenberger briefly. Unscripted with the crack man. Oh, yeah. Billy, where you at?
Hey, Gil. On the East Coast, the missus had a 50th birthday party for a friend of hers that her best friend. So that's tomorrow night in New York. So on the East Coast right now in a hotel room. But I hear you guys are partying it down. I hear Gil Alexander even getting no sleep up to the wee hours in the morning.
No.
Drinking at the top of bars and
no.
stuff. I'm hearing, right?
It's not true. I haven't even been yet. I'm going tonight, though. I'll go to Legacy Club tonight. I will not be drinking, though, I promise you. Some of us have to wake up at 5 either. In the morning, Bill. Some of us have to wake up early. But, yeah, we miss you, though.
Yeah.
This is such a great sports betting conference. It really is amazing, and it culminates with the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame tomorrow night, so we look forward to that.
Yeah, that should be fun. I was just reading parts of the that Billy Walters story is going viral everywhere. So I just read two different articles. Very interesting. You know, I think he's really bitter about some things, and rightly so. And he's airing it in his book. I'm sure I'll air maybe a little bit tomorrow if he could. Book comes out. Look forward to getting it myself. The last paragraph got me a little bit. He's upset that Phil Mickelson could have helped him, and he wouldn't have had to go to jail. He feels, and the most important thing that happened when he was in jail, his daughter committed suicide, which was kind of kept low key. I really didn't know about that.
So I didn't either.
That's yeah.
I've done the Mickelson story here a couple times over the years. Jeffrey Toobin of CNN fame and perhaps CNN infamy, if you know what I mean, did a great piece years ago about Phil Mickelson, and I've talked about it here on a numbers game, which is the only reason that he didn't go to jail, right? Like in all the Billy Walters thing. And for those who are unfamiliar, Billy Walters ended up getting caught with insider trading. He was, just to explain it briefly, he was if the insider was A and Billy Walters was B getting the information, he passed it on to Phil Mickelson, who was C. And there was a precedent set before this case that involved Billy Walters where the C party, who was getting information from someone else who already got the initial information, could not be prosecuted. Subsequent to Phil Mickelson then getting off on that precedent, there was another similar insider trading case where it was ruled that the C party could be prosecuted. So Phil Mickelson, because of a window in time in history, and only because of that, likely avoided jail time. That's sort of the amazing thing about that story. Billy is, and Spanky will interview Billy Walters. I mean, I said it culminates with the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame, but maybe it culminates really with, the biggest thing of all, in addition to that, is Spanky's interview of Billy Walters, which should be, just unbelievable. But yeah, he is rightfully, justifiably upset about it all because he really feels like it had gone a different way. And this is his opinion. Maybe it's not fact. I'm not a legal expert. Maybe if it had gone a different way, he would not have spent time in jail at all. I don't know.
Yeah, and when I was down at Circa a couple days ago, I probably didn't realize they were having. So there's 10 inductions in the Hall of Fame. Did you? I'm sure you realize that, of course. But
yeah,
I didn't. I didn't know there. I don't know why. I thought we were just putting like. I thought there was like a Billy Walters, and that was it. I didn't realize that they had 10 names. I think five which are have passed on, and five current people. Like they have like the Lefty Rosenthals and one of the people who invented the line back in the 1920s going to go in. That's great. I didn't know that they were doing that. I thought they were, you know, I thought it was just the one person. I don't know why. So is that also going to take part tomorrow night? And you're going to be there for that, I'm sure, Gil?
I will hope to be there for that as well. Yeah, it is 10 names. Chrissy Andrews on this show was able to announce, I think, over half of those names that are ultimately inducted. Roxy was in the first group of announcements. And Roxy, by the way, is on the committee. It's very, by the way, for those who don't know and think that Spanky is just willy-nilly bringing out names out of his head for the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame, it's a very sort of deliberate process that they put together with a panel of people. Roxy happens to be on that panel when his candidacy was weighed. He removed himself from the room, right? He was recused from all that. But he's obviously a first ballot. I mean, this is really the Bob Martins and the Roxy Roxboroughs of the world and the Lefty Rosenthals of the world. They're really the Ty Cobb, Babe Ruth, Walter Johnson first inductee group. Not to in any way say that the other seven aren't, but those were the first three that announced. And it's just a who's who of sports gambling. And really, I mean, I say this all the time. We should appreciate, Bill, at our age and anybody who's still, you know, who's in this space right now, these guys aren't going to be around forever, right? We're all getting older, but these guys are the true legends. And the fact that we get to rub shoulders with them, I say this about Chrissy, right? Chrissy was one of the most underrated guys in all of this, who's super humble about things that he has brought to market. We really are fortunate to know, obviously, you know, as you said, five of these guys are no longer with us, but of the ones that are, we're super fortunate, man.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I'm trying to think if Billy Baxter was, I think he said Billy Baxter also, Richie told me, was going to be in there too. So Billy with us, of course. I've been with him at breakfast many times, and he's got some of the greatest gambling stories of all time. I think Spanky interviewed him once on his show, Be Better Betters. Fantastic guy and good guy in the industry also. And he's got some great old gambling stories of, you know, like when Doyle first came to town and when Billy first came to town. I mean, you know, Baxter's from Augusta, but he's been in Vegas a long time. Hey, Gil, I want to touch on something that you didn't know I was going to talk about. So I know they put a clip on YouTube weekly of when I'm in studio, the segments. And, you know, I wanted to see what I said. I made a small error on air last week. I called Kelly in Vegas. I said something about Brett, and I said that's Kelly's girlfriend. I meant Kelly's boyfriend, but that made me read some of the comments, and I realized someone said something good. He said, "Well, this guy always talks about losing. But, you know, now he says he talks about winning." Well, listen, I'm not the kind of person that tells you all the time I'm, you know, killing it and winning and everything. But I will tell you my losing sessions because, listen, I have small leaks, and I say leaks. I'm not betting outside of my bankroll, but I have small leaks on video poker and stuff that, you know, I'll overplay a promotion or a tournament. But when it comes to sports betting, guys, let me tell you right now, there really is no leaks in my game. And yes, of course I'm a winning sports bettor. Of course. I mean, I've been thrown out of thousands and thousands of bookmakers, just like many of the sharp sports bettors out there. Now they're throwing squares out just if you have a winning week. So think about how tough it was years ago when, you know, you had places to play and lines moved so much. So, yeah, like last year I hit 58.1% in college basketball. I had great seasons in college sports and props. But I will talk about losing weeks and losing months or losing things too. Isn't that part of being transparent?
Bill.
Of course you want to talk about.
Bill, when I started a podcast, this is before Beating the Book, this is Betting Dork, so we're talking like 2010, 2011. When I started my first one in 2005, but really just then went away, and 2010 started and never stopped since. When I did it then, and this is 2023 now, so it sounds, you know, people will be like, really? That doesn't sound right. But when I started a podcast in 2010 doing this, the fact that I shared when I lost, right, was such a like mind-blowing thing to people because the industry was so overrun with it. Just, you know, nobody lost ever. Look at me, 16-2 last night, right? So that notion, the fact that you could be honest about it, this industry was so, you know, just absolutely poisoned by the opposite of that, you know, that no one ever did lose. Just that honesty. And that's why I'm always amused today when someone accuses me of the opposite, right? I'm like, you have no idea what you're talking about. That one little bit of honesty is enough to separate you now. The fact that you admit it, right, from so many other people. That's it. People respond to that because people know. Listen, if someone tells you, you've said this before, yeah. Someone tells you they're not losing ever, they either haven't done this long enough or they're lying to you, one or the other. And so some people do it in anonymity.
It's a long-term game too, Gil. You know, someone asked me just recently, someone said, hey, I got these really good syndicate picks. I like to give you some of these plays. They're from a pretty sharp syndicate. I actually told them, no, if I'm only going to get them one day, I don't want the picks. If you're going to give them to me every day, I'll take them. But short-term variance, two or three plays, I'm not going to bet. I'm interested in the long-term. And that's why when you bet with you know, the stuff I give out, stuff I talk about, it's all about long-term. You got to get the picks every day. And of course, I'm going to win day in and day out. I pay tax next month, September 15th. I'll be paying tax again. Quarterly estimated tax on gambling wins. So it is what it is. I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah. A little public service announcement. A man who pays his quarterlies. Bill Krakenberger. Bill, next week, hope to have you back in town.
I'll be there. Thank you.
Bill Krakenberger at Bill Crackman with the K on Twitter. Las Vegas Chris, contest juggernaut. How he prepares every week. Next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up today for only $19 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. Sean McCollum now in for Brian Ortega, who's in for Wyatt Tomchek, who's in for Kelly Bidlin. Brian had a matter he had to tend to. I think that Ed Fang showing up late segment had him a little frazzled, so Sean will get us through this. It is Gil Alexander. We're at the South Point Hotel Casino on the tip of the strip, the majestic South Point, and Bet Bash 3 is going on, and folks are attending Bet Bash, hanging out with Bet Bash folks, and are kind enough to roll in here. Las Vegas Chris, the latest of that bunch. He joins us now. Contest juggernaut through the years. I read your credentials, Chris, earlier on the show. Should I do them again?
I think people are sick and tired of it.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're sick and tired of hearing that you were the winner of the Palms NFL Challenge, the winner of the Wynn Casino Single Survivor Contest, $100,000, the winner of the 2016 Stations Casino's NCAA Last Man Standing Contest for $62,000 back in 2016, 2019, you finished a cool 20th and 31st in Circa. 2020, you finished 2nd and 5th and cashed nearly $250,000. And then 2021, Last Man Standing over at Stations, this time the NFL version, tied for first. What about it last year? I don't have last year updated. Did you do anything last year? By the way, Las Vegas Chris, everybody. How you doing, man?
Hey, good to be here.
You too.
I profited $14,000 overall last year. I won a $25,000 quarter at Circa.
Look at you. You are so good. First of all, you look great, by the way. Have you lost weight? Do you have a tan? What's happening with you? You look wonderful.
I don't know. Maybe it's just the shirt.
Maybe it's the shirt. Could be. You have been hanging out with Bet Bash 3 folks. You have a story you'd like to share with us?
This was ridiculous. I didn't really have time to attend the events and stuff, but I had a lot of meetings scheduled.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to schedule three different appointments at the same time, basically, kind of just rolling with the flow. And I sat down. I had to get a game in, time sensitive, and the game that's going on is a loser. And just getting pounded, and then...
Is this baseball we're talking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I either win everything or lose everything. It's ridiculous. I don't know what's up with this year. But so I'm sitting there, and it's a cavalcade of one person after another who I'd love to spend time with and talk to, people I haven't met, people that I have met, haven't seen in a while, and it's just great. I'm, like, completely overloaded. And then this guy comes by with... These three guys came by, and I recognized the first guy, and but I'm so overloaded. I'm like, you know, hey, I recognize you. As he comes up, shakes our hand,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't really catch what he said to me. And then he introduces the two other people, and he's kind of on his way. And, you know, it was kind of a sort of meeting. Like 25 minutes later, it dawns on me. That was Ed from Raz.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how the hell didn't I recognize him? You know, because I hadn't seen Mike and the other guy on the show, so I didn't know who they looked like.
Right.
And so I go, damn it, I wanted to talk to Ed. And he must think I just completely blew him off, thinking he's as dead as disco or something to me. But
we getting old, Chris. That's what that means.
It's just so bad. But I apologized to him on DM, and I said, to be fair, you've been on video. I've seen you on video once for like 5 or 10 minutes. So,
oh, yeah.
you can't really blame me.
No, not for Ed. Ed would admit, it is not one, he shies away from cameras or shows. Like, it was very, I was thrilled to have him on a couple times, maybe once, but it was definitely one time, and I was like, oh, wow, this is a big deal that he's on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're forgiven for that. Do you do any preseason, or you stay as far away from that as possible?
I have an excellent preseason record, but I haven't bet a preseason game in 4 years.
Why?
Usually because it's mental management. I think it's evolved to needing to act too fast, and it's information based, and I don't want to be on. I want my focus to be wider focused. I don't want to be focusing on preseason week one. I'd rather be absorbing more information that's going to benefit me throughout the season, if that makes any sense.
Yes, that triggers a thought. And I think you've said this on this show before, but it's worth reiterating. So we talk because we're before the season. It's only natural for us to talk about season-long markets, both props, obviously futures, that sort of thing. You do not like betting futures, correct?
Oh, I like to middle and play around with numbers. Like I track 12 books and their season win totals and their futures. And usually I can tell you who's got the best number on every team just right here. I'm usually tracking them. I'm a little bit behind at the moment, but I like to watch the progression. And if you're watching on a weekly basis, you're going to find some good value. You know, there's been a handful of teams where, you know, you just have to play both sides. It's you're getting a half a number, and it's costing you next to nothing. So,
but I find your reason fascinating as to why you so if you see a great number, you'll play it.
Yeah.
But generally, it's I love this that it you don't want to be in any way influenced during the season by a futures bet that you have.
It's if you're really honest with yourself and you think about it, there's literally a 0% chance that it will not affect your handicapping at some point during the season. Even for somebody like myself who can compartmentalize, you know, pretty well, it doesn't matter. It's going to pop into your system that, oh, you know, I need Baltimore. I really don't want to bet against them. Thankfully, I have a model that overrules, you know, my thinking. But
do you really succumb to that? Like, you're not able to put that in the, you know, one side of your brain.
Oh, no, I am, but
you are.
But it pops into your brain.
Yeah.
So when you're going through each week's games, if you've got a Browns future and they're playing a team on a given week, trust me, if not overtly, are you going to come out and say to yourself, I've got that future, I don't want to kind of be betting against my future. Well, that just hosed you.
Yeah.
And if you've got multiple futures now, that's going to hose you on a bunch of different games. And if you don't think it's overtly, it's subconsciously affecting you.
It's a very interesting stance on it. I want to talk about your week-to-week preparation. Before we get to week-to-week, though, and again, all the contests that you've won, so your street cred, if you will, speaks for itself. But some of the things that you do here before the season, we discussed one of them here briefly without even really thinking more, which is networking. You do a lot of that. You try to get as many outs as you can, and you're picking a line service. Explain those three things. Networking, outs, line service. For those who might be new or newish to betting.
Well, I'm still shocked at how few people actually pay attention. And I've run across some people that are in this industry that either own websites or they distribute information that really are just are not concerned with line services. They're just like, well, I just pull up this or I pull up that. And Are you out of your mind? It's like this is the easy part of the week is figuring out who you're going to bet. The work is where are you going to bet it and when are you going to bet it? And that's by monitoring. But I recommend to everybody that you're always monitoring lines. And you don't have to be one of these guys that monitors it all week long, but at least monitor where you can find the best line and the best value. I mean, you can't only have a square shop to bet your stuff. You're going to get hosed left and right, especially at money lines and futures and stuff like that. You know, you want to look for a mix of sharp and square shops so that you can kind of get that, you know, best of both worlds type of
How much networking are you doing week to week during the season?
I think it you know what, it varies. You know, information is extremely important. So, there's no predicting on it. I mean, yeah, you check in with the same people at the same time.
You have your go-to guys. You stick with them.
Yeah, but you always have to be open to new resources and such. It's really funny because I have a ton of contact at certain times with some people and then zero contact with some people. It just goes in waves. You just never know where it's going to come from. You just go with the flow.
If you could distill, this is an awful question because I know it's going to be almost impossible to answer. But if you could say, what is the, if someone said, you must give me the single biggest key to why you have been successful doing these contests through the years, you would say what?
I don't think it's just contests. It's daily betting management.
Okay.
And I believe it's more important than if somebody handed you winners, believe it or not. And that is handling the mental aspects of what's involved with managing how you're going to approach whatever you're doing, whether it's a contest, wagering, the season. Have that in a proper perspective ahead of time, knowing and then planning how you're going to manage it along the way. And it's critical, absolutely critical.
I want to delve into that after the break because it occurs to me that there's going to be a significant portion of the audience who hear you say that and are going to be like, come on, dude, better than giving you the, like, really better, more important than your actual handicapping and your actual market reading, which I guess you're doing both of in all of this, right? Handicapping and market reading week to week. That sounds so abstract to a lot of people, but you really believe in that. You think that is as important as anything. We'll delve into just what Las Vegas Chris is talking about when he talks about his mental preparation on all of this stuff, the podcasts and shows that he relies on a weekly basis, his routine, setting goals and priorities. Las Vegas Chris in studio, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's football season, and bettors know that this is when the money is made. Nobody knows football like VSiN, and now's the time to become a VSiN subscriber. Get our comprehensive college and NFL guides. Only VSiN subscribers get all the tools to prep for the college and pro football seasons. Our experts provide profiles of every team with advanced stats and power ratings, plus best bets on season win totals, division finishes, and player awards. Sign up today for $199. You'll receive both guides and full VSiN access all the way through the Super Bowl. Or join us for $19 for your first month and see everything VSiN has to up your betting game. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. It's Gil Alexander, Las Vegas Chris, kind enough to hang with us in studio. Multiple contest winner here through the years in Las Vegas, along with the James Salinas's and Steve Fezziks of the world. Really, really the greatest contest players football-wise that there has ever been. You were just saying off-air, though, you have changed the world beyond contests. You have changed the way you bet dramatically, and this change happened last season.
Yeah, I have people that inspire me to work harder, that follow me. And, you know, in my Discord, I was very open last year because last year the season did not start off well for me, and I knew something was kind of odd. You know, if you have a model and you see, I don't know how to explain it. There was just something kind of askew. Started off poorly, but was just kind of missing stuff. And I'm like, I've got to do something differently to get myself some sort of a different type of edge. And so I started focusing, and you know, everybody's going to cringe on this, but I've got a lot of great history to back this up. 99.9% of people should not be doing it because you have to do this stuff in a particular way. You'll hear people lecture on Twitter, don't do this, I don't respect people that do that, blah, blah, blah. I don't care. I'm 100% positive when I'm doing works, it's positive EV, but you have to be very particular about it. And that is the use of integrating parlays and teasers. And before people get excited about, oh, yeah, I love to do that stuff. Now, this is hard work. One of the most important keys to using either of those is not marrying them. And by marrying them, what I mean is don't have two wagers that are going on at the same time involved in a parlay or a teaser. You certainly don't want to use more than three teams at any given time, but you want to focus on two teams. And what you want to basically do is treat each bet as an individual bet. I'm not trying to, if I'm using a parlay, I'm not trying to make more money. I'm trying to risk less money, if that makes any sense. So why do I want to lay 6 points on a Thursday night road favorite when I can put it into and risk, you know, 1.1 to win one, when I can divide that one into three or four other bets and have that as front ends into bets I'm placing anyway on the weekend?
Can you give a specific example of this? Like, let's give us a scenario so people can touch that and be more tangible for them.
You've got the road favorite laying 6 on a Thursday.
Okay.
My model says I have to bet it. I was noticing I was getting clipped last week or last year just by a little bit on these games. I go, I've got to find a way to elongate the value that I can find out there. So why do I want to put, you know, $110 out to win 100 on that Thursday night game that's standing alone when I can split that up into two or three bets and spider those into Saturday or Sunday bets? And by doing that, I am putting that money to work immediately on those back ends if it wins. If the front end loses, I may have three bets, but I'm actually betting less than what I was going to bet on a 110-to-1 wager anyway. So I can play those on money lines instead of laying the 6. You have to decide whether a teaser or a money line is a better proposition. Obviously, in a 6-point range, you're doing a money line. There may be situations where a teaser is better. So that's just one outlook on it. And they basically can intertwine with each other. But what's important to remember is I don't care about the back ends in the immediacy. They are stuff I'm going to play anyway. I'm never just throwing back ends out there or throwing something near the middle later. They all have specific use and utility value. And I just worry about hitting that front end. When that front end hits, well, now I can risk less on those back ends. No harm, no foul.
Yeah. And inevitably, there will be a few heads exploding hearing that, right?
Sure. Let them explode.
Let them explode. Yes, it works for you.
Yeah, well, I think it was 79% teasers last year, plus 31 units. On teasers,
which is higher than a break even.
I've got over 625 parlay history, and my ROI after I've done poorly lately is down to 10.7% on on parlays. So
I want to get back to the preparation, but I want to ask you one other question here. So you take in a lot of media. Are there consensus thoughts heading into the NFL season that you've heard? Maybe it's the love that seems to be pervasive on the Atlanta Falcons. Maybe it's something else.
I'm seeing give and take. I'm seeing,
you are?
It was originally everybody was Atlanta over, and I've seen some dissension on that.
What's the thing that you agree with the most or disagree with the most that you hear anecdotally?
The problem with that division is that the schedules are so darn easy. It's like the NFC East last year. So by default, they're going to win games. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, this didn't quite register. This is a team that won 7 games each of the previous 2 years, and were not good overall. I mean, they were in a lot of close games that they blew, too. So there's a lot of reasons to like that team, and then there's a lot of reasons to think, well, they're going to find a way to kind of blow out a tire.
Is part of your success, though, that you don't form that strong of opinions on any teams pre-flop, or do you go into the season with a preconceived notion in your head?
I have a couple of preconceived notions that are going to be hard to kick.
Like?
Baltimore. You know, I recommended Baltimore plus 265 to win the division. I just think people are sleeping on Baltimore.
Okay.
I mean, they've got – people don't realize they were recruiting people off the streets, you know, to hit their backfield. My concern, though, is do they have San Francisco-itis, and do these two teams have conditioning issues where they're going to always be injured each and every year? Because everybody's already assuming Jackson can't finish the year. That's a pretty big assumption. What happens if they stay healthy? Andrews will be back. This is a good team.
I love that. The reason why I want to delve into this is because even what we were saying in the last segment, where you're like, well, you don't want to necessarily do too many futures because you don't want it, you know, polluting your brain. But even you do a couple of these. You have a couple thoughts on this, Baltimore being one of them.
Yeah, but I don't. That's kind of a little bit of a different situation because their point spreads are going to be what they are. So, and my model is going to dictate what I'm going to be on. Regardless, if I have to bet, I'm a Lions fan. If I have to bet against the Lions, I bet against the Lions. Mm-hmm. I get the best of both worlds. One way or another, I win. But
what else besides Baltimore to win the division do you like?
Oh, what was there? Oh, I like the Rams week one.
Week one, you like them?
Against Seattle.
Why? They
played twice last year. The Rams had no quarterback in either game. It was a 3-point game, a 4-point game. I think Seattle may be a little overvalued in the market. You've got McVay and Stafford that came back. Why would they come back if they don't? They're going to sit all these players during preseason, especially after Cup had his injury. He should be fine to go by week one. We don't know that for certainty yet, but this is a team that has superstars in their positions going into week one on the road, and they're going to have a chip on their shoulder. McVay's record against Seattle has been pretty good. I just think this is just a ridiculous line.
Rams plus 5.5 right now.
I don't think it belongs even at 4. I mean,
week one, September 10th, the opening Sunday, which begs the question, how many contests will you be in this year?
Oh, I will be in 3 different ones, I guess. Well, maybe 4. I'm going to do the season wins contest for the first time.
Season wins at the Westgate?
Yeah. I think it's only $200. I don't even know how it works, but
you'll dive in.
I figure, what the hell? I'm going to go ahead and do that. I'll do some millions, super contest gold, and last man standings, I guess.
No Survivor for you?
Survivor is not my bag.
Not my bag.
No, it's not my bag.
Do you do max entries on all those that you're talking about?
No.
Just one or two?
Yeah.
That's your way to go.
What I like about gold this year is that it's a max entry of one. I do like that concept.
Do you limit it to two because you find if you go past that, it just becomes redundant and no point to it, or it confuses you?
I had, I went up to 3 in millions last year and was not pleased with how I did. I did too many entries.
Okay.
And you do get a little careless with them the more you have.
Back to Chris's weekly preparation. That's on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits, like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Skill Alexander, inside the mind of a better. Las Vegas, Chris, not just any better, but a multiple contest winner in this town. And when I say multiple, I mean multiple. We ran down the list earlier. Before we get into your weekly routine again, because people want specific examples, just off air, we had an interesting exchange, I thought, which is you think Survivor is much more luck-based than a five-games-a-week contest, which is a fascinating snapshot into your brain, because most Survivor players would say, I would imagine, what are you talking about? I just got to pick one team every week to win. You got to beat the spread in five of these games every week. But you don't see it that way.
I like the concept of every game being in play, and you have a managed expectation variance, which you process mentally, so to speak. And that's important, because the mental ups and downs on Survivor are very high low.
It's an obsession.
Whereas
roller coaster,
it's more of a consistent expectation.
Yeah, and I can see that.
And consistent talent required. And as you know, you can be in a position of we know that a point spread can win or lose at any given point in time. But when you put yourself in a position of having 17-point favor just, you know, not show up on a given week and you're out of Survivor,
it's awful. Yeah, but the plinko, as I call it, of the NFL doesn't bother you? Do you even – here's the real question, because I remember you saying this to me before. You make your plays. How much are you actually watching? You're one of these guys who doesn't watch a lot, right?
No, I have people that follow me. And I, it's really important that I do well, and I do bet good amounts. My mental outlook a few years ago changed as I was going through investments and realizing, wait a minute, the best investment I know is myself. So I upped my betting significantly, and I treat it as an investment, part of my investment portfolio. So, but still, the most important thing is that anybody that follows me gets the right information. It's not ego. I want people to make money.
Yeah. You don't want to live through the plinko though on game day. You just want to see the final score.
Yeah. So
are we wired differently?
Well, I expect to win my games. Yeah. Okay. I don't want to see how I got screwed.
I expected to. But I want to feel the pain and the joy of it all.
Sometimes I'm in the mood, sometimes I'm not. There are weeks where it's going so poorly by the third quarter, the first games, that it's off, and I don't even get scores until Monday morning.
Man, this guy. All right, so let's talk about Monday morning. Let's talk about after the games are done, Monday morning, your routine. You take in a bunch of podcasts and shows during the week. How many hours of media, sports betting media, do you think you take in a week?
Well, I'm always leaving it on in the background, if not concentrating on listening to it, hoping that it absorbs via osmosis somehow, if I'm not paying attention. I don't know, but I like to listen to as much content as I can find across all spectrums. I came across a podcast this summer that the guys are pretty knowledgeable. They've got some good info, but they're at a completely unsophisticated level of understanding what to do with the information, somebody else I know that I respect came to the same conclusion, that this is going to be the best show ever to listen to, because they're not going to do well. they ride these narratives that they haven't learned not to ride, and they have just enough knowledge to make themselves dangerous.
But somehow that feeds your process on a week-to-week.
Oh, yeah. Because you want to have a pulse on who the sharps are on. Yeah. You want to have a pulse on who the public is going to be on. And that helps your market awareness and can make decisions for you on where you think the lines are going to move. Because the best thing about NFL, the worst thing about NFL is it's a short season. But the best thing about NFL is you have a week to figure out a dozen different ways to bet a game that you like.
What do you listen to every weekend? Does it rhyme with messing vines, Monday mornings with Chris Anders? Does it rhyme with that by any chance?
It does. I do like to listen to that. I like it.
My biggest memory of you listening to Guessing Lines is the biggest difference I ever had Pittsburgh Miami. Yeah. The biggest difference I ever had between a guess and the actual line was a touchdown in that Pittsburgh Miami game. And you texted me immediately. You're like, that was my line.
Yeah, I know.
What happened that day?
I couldn't believe that line on that game. I remember it's sitting there, and I go, wait a minute, and I'm having to. They're a touchdown off on this game.
Routine habit. Give me 30 seconds on that. What's your routine and habit?
I think trying to just do things with the same kind of schedule and routine is important without disruptions. You know, people that schedule vacations during NFL season, they're not serious. That completely disrupts. 9 out of 10 people that travel get buried on their vacations because everything's disrupted. And that's what you have to look at day in day life as, is what could potentially disrupt my thinking or what I need to get done. Let me pre-plan to make sure that I can avoid any triggers that may cause, you know, angst or problems for me.
Wife's got to be understanding of all this, huh?
Absolutely.
Significant other.
You can't be hiding things from your wife.
We don't give that enough credit, by the way.
Well,
if you have a life with other people in your family, like they're a huge assist to all of this, because we are odd people.
Well, and you have to learn how to manage that,
yeah,
because it's going to disrupt your way of thinking and cause you stress, and then you're going to bargain with yourself and blame them for the problems that you have when you have a bad week, when it's 100% your fault. You should have been thinking ahead of time, how do I avoid putting myself in situations with friends that are going to coerce me into bad bets? And, you know, I can't deal with work stuff at this time because I got to do sports stuff at this time. You manage your own schedule. You manage when you interact with people. If you're not honest with friends, family, et cetera, then that's going to weigh on the back of your brain and make give you guilt trips and that sort of stuff. I believe you have to have all that stuff managed because it disrupts your thinking.
Three more things. Let's fit it all in. Setting goals and priorities. What do you mean by that?
Kind of just touched on that a little bit, is managing how you're going to have that pathway to success. What are you going to avoid each week? What's your bankroll going to be? You know, don't just wing it and just show up, you know, before the Kansas City-Detroit game without any sort of idea what your goals are. 40% of people that post up in the offshores have lost their bankroll that they posted up by the start of October.
Well, give me an example of a goal. What do you mean? Bankroll management is obviously a cousin of this. No. Bankroll management in terms of what you're betting, you know, 1% to 2% of your entire bankroll per game is usually – 2% is usually the max. People hear that. They're like,
right.
What? 2% max? That's crazy. But what do you mean by a goal? Give me an example, because you have a different goal than the average person would, I would imagine. That's how I read goals.
What do you want? What do you want out of this season? Envision it ahead of time. Don't wing it, because when you're winging things week to week as they go along, there's no way it works in your favor. So, what is going to be your schedule? What's going to be your routine for pods? When are you going to have the time to monitor lines? When are you going to be able to bet? When do you have other responsibilities that you're not going to be able to do this? And then by default, if something does come up unexpectedly, you have an instant vision of, okay, well, this is the list of my priorities, so I can still get this stuff done.
Wow.
Instead of just kind of like...
If I run into you during football season, I know not to mess with you with your whole routine on these. And the last thing is, and this is kind of the umbrella of it all, you say mental preparation. You're very zen about this kind of thing.
Well, you have to be honest with the hardest person in life to be honest with, and that is yourself. You have to manage your sleep. You have to manage your moods. You have to manage, as I mentioned, triggers. What's going to trigger you? Avoid it. You're responsible for everything you do. Nobody else is. You follow somebody else's picks. The wife yells at you. There's a vacation, whatever. You're 100% in control. So prepare yourself ahead of time and don't be surprised at anything other than your lack of preparation for how you find yourself in a given situation.
Chris, if this came from somebody else, I might pass it off. But your record it speaks for itself. The proof is in the pudding. And this works for you. And
it's critical.
All of it critical. All right, a little Baltimore for the division. Likes the Rams week 1. Las Vegas, Chris, everybody. Thank you, Chris. Always a pleasure, man.
Sure.
Thanks for hanging out. Bet Bash 3. We got events to go to. More Bet Bash 3 folks tomorrow, including Rufus Peabody in studio. Looking forward to that. James Salinas as well. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. The Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy.